This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, just 35 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, the Colorado Buffaloes are on a bye this week. They'll have Utah next week, coming off of a very big win, maybe too far behind in the Big 12 race, but maybe not too late to turn the season around to something positive. Took care of Iowa State 24-17, kept the Cyclones to 17 points. The defense, Brian Howell joining us from Buff Zone. Defense looked pretty darn good. Overall, seems like the improve is starting to hit for Colorado.
Yeah, I think so. And you must not be watching the Big 12 if you think they're far behind.
Well,
the Big 12 is not. I'm just teasing you.
Yeah, there's a chance. It's just a tough road for the Buffs. Maybe they're not out of it, but yeah,
no, they got a
journey in front of them.
Yeah, they do. They pretty much are out of it. I agree with you. But I'm joking because the Big 12 is obviously so volatile. But, you know, that was a big win for the Buffs. And, yeah, I think there are signs of a turnaround. You know, defensively, you know, you look at the yards. They gave up too many yards. But they made stops when they needed to. And they made some huge, huge stops. I mean, the interception at the goal line, the fourth down stop, and you know, Iowa State's 2 of 12 on third downs, and they were doing what they needed to do to get off the field, and it was pretty impressive.
Yeah, it really was. I had a feeling this might happen for CU. They would find a way with Iowa State. Because really, Brian, I looked at the BYU game, I looked at the TCU game. Like, both of those games, as much of the negative that we could take away from both of those games, there were plenty of opportunities for the Buffs to beat really well BYU for sure, but TCU kind of a pretty good football team. So I thought maybe there was a chance for CU to do something crazy here.
Yeah, I picked them to beat Iowa State because of that. I thought that they were playing some good football, and even though it was disappointing, you know, the hard part is you look back on it now if you're a Buff fan and or if you're the Buffs and say, you know what, we all kind of looked at the schedule in these segments, and at least those of us in the media were looking at it saying this middle segment is a gauntlet, you know, with BYU, TCU on the road, Iowa State, and then at Utah. And beginning of the year, it's like, man, I'm not sure they'll win any of those games. And they should be 3-0 in that stretch. I mean, they had 14-0 leads in the first two of those that they coughed up, and then they beat Iowa State. So they've handled this, quote, gauntlet fairly well. You want one more win out of that, but they played better football than I think most people thought in these three games.
Well, and it was nice to see in this last game. You know, obviously they score first, they strike first. We're used to seeing that, but can you keep that going? And they had a, you know, pretty impressive third quarter too, scoring 14 points there. That was big. And I thought Caden Salter, you know, he looked a lot better in this game. It was a rough start kind of, but he got better as this one went along.
Yeah, he did, and he really bounced back from just a bad first half against TCU, and really just a bad game because they didn't do much in the second half, but the three interceptions in the first half of TCU, and he was really good against Iowa State, and you know he struggled a little out of the gates, but then he got things going, and he hit a couple of deep passes that we've been wanting to see out of him, and you know ran the ball well. That's the Caden Salter that if we would see that all year, they've got a shot to win a lot of games if he's playing like that.
He's a very confusing quarterback for my brain, Brian. I like him a lot. When he is on, he's on, and he's exciting. And then I see him run 4 million yards backwards. You know, that happens.
Yeah.
That's happened to him a lot. A lot of negative plays. When you always hear coaches, college, NFL, whatever, say, hey, we got to eliminate the negative plays. That's what we're talking about with Caden Salter. But when he's not doing that, he's really good.
Yeah, I think that pretty much expresses how Deion Sanders feels too. You know, it's been frustrating for them because they see all this potential in Caden Salter, but he doesn't always show it. And if he would, they'd be really good right now. I honestly think that you know, some of his early season struggles they're not the only reason they were losing, but they certainly have held this team back a little bit, and maybe he's gotten into a groove a little bit to where they can take that into the second half of the season.
How did that win over Iowa State? You called it, but how did that win change your kind of your perception of what the rest of the season looks like? Off this week, but then another part of that gauntlet at Utah, Arizona's left, at West Virginia, Arizona State at home, and then at Kansas State. Is your mind changing a bit about what potentially the Buffs could do, what that record might look like at the end of the season?
Yeah, I think so. And that's kind of the nature with college football, at least it seems that way covering this team, that the perception changes after one game a lot, you know? And even last year when they had Shadur and Travis, you know, I mean, you don't want to hear about last year as much, but like when they're coming out of Nebraska, right, and they get their butt kicked, like, man, the season's on the line here as we go to Fort Collins. And they just kind of turn it around in Fort Collins, right? And so you kind of feel different about that team after that. Same way with this team. If they had lost to Iowa State and they're 2-5 going into the bye, I think you could really see this team splinter because if they're 2-5, you don't have any confidence whatsoever that they're going to go to Salt Lake and win. So now they're 2-6. And then I think the narrative is going to be just throw Juju out there for the last month of the season and let's see what they have. Now you look at it and I say, you know what? You may not win in Salt Lake, but that's okay because they can win 3 or 4 out of the 4 games in November and go to a bowl game. I really believe that.
That's what I was going to ask you next. If you think, because I think if you were able to get to a bowl game, if you're really following along with the Buffs, then I don't think you're going to be that disappointed. If you've been there from the beginning, knowing all the guys that they're trying to replace, all this different stuff, and you know, Coach Prime without his son, without Shadur Sanders at the quarterback spot, I think you would be. I at least would look at that and say, hey, man, that's pretty good compared, you know, considering where this team started and kind of what we thought. And I know Coach Prime talked about the roster being better this year, but I still looked at it and thought. I think you discussed this too, like a 6 or 7 win team.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that recruiting wise, this staff would have a lot to go off of if they can get to a bowl game and say, look, we turn it around after a slow start. I think just getting to a second straight bowl, we've talked about it before. The last time CU did that, Gary Barnett was the head coach. I mean, it was literally 20 years ago.
Wow.
2004 and 2005 was the last time they went to back to back bowls. That's a major feather in the cap of a head coach when you're recruiting a program and say, look, we're the first ones in 20 years to do it. We did it without Shadur, without Travis. We're a growing program. Just come here and you're going to win. So there's a whole lot to hang your hat on if they can get to that bowl game. It's a whole lot different if you're 4-8, you know. So I think that November is going to be a huge, huge month for them. If you can go out and steal one in Salt Lake City, that'd be massive. But even if you don't, I think that they've got to put everything in on November because I think there's 4 winnable games there.
Brian Howell joining us from Buff Zone. And Brian, you mentioned, it's had my brain churning. You mentioned last year, you know, after the Nebraska game, it was like, uh-oh, how this thing could get ugly. And then it was the CSU game, which I picked appropriately, I think. I think I called that one. No, this is my beef to pick with Buffs fans. I was with you on my picks. I picked CU to beat Iowa State. Crickets from the Buffs fans, man. Yeah. I mean, come on, Brian.
I know. You know, that's what happens, though, because, you know, I've picked the Buffs to win almost every time since the start of last year, and I didn't for 2 weeks in a row, BYU and TCU. You know, when you don't pick them, man, they let you have it. Mm-hmm. But then I pick an upset against Iowa State, which nobody else is picking, and it's like, eh.
Nothing. Okay. Yeah, come on, guys. You know, be appreciative.
Especially when you're right about it. You know, nobody came back and said, man, Brian, you had that one.
Yeah, it's like the algorithm. They only get the negatives. They don't get the positives. I don't know what's going on with those guys, but we'll see. I wanted to just get your take. Travis Hunter, man. I saw the Skip Bayless thing. It was ridiculous to me. Dude, Travis Hunter's like what seems like you would speak better than this on this than I would, but it just seems like he's one of the like nicest dudes ever. I hate when I see a lot of negative going at this guy. What is there to pick apart? He's a rookie.
Yeah, I don't know. We would talk about that a lot last year too. It was like, why are they picking at Travis? He's like the nicest kid ever. He's never done anything wrong that we know of. You know, I don't know why people pick on him, and yeah, I didn't watch the whole thing of Skip because I can't.
28 minutes.
I can't take that long of Skip, but I just want to hear what is he saying. And that was ridiculous, that take. I mean, I don't know how that's a distraction. I mean, I imagine there's been NFL players in the past that have gone to church before a game.
Yeah.
This to me is the same type of deal. And so maybe it gave him some clarity for the game. And to say that he's checked out on the Jaguars is insane, because anybody that knows Travis Hunter knows that, yes, he wants to be a big contributor, but he's a winner, and he's a team guy, and the Jags are winning.
Yeah, and he's a rookie, and now we're hearing Jacksonville talk about how they're going to be trying to drop more plays for him where he would be the number one option. So I'm really excited to see. But in the small, and I haven't watched every Jaguars game, but the games that I have watched, I haven't looked at him and said, oh, wow, he's not living up to the hype at all. I think he's probably about where we kind of expect. He's not lighting it up, but I don't think anyone expected that. He's been solid.
Yeah, he really has. And just knowing Travis how I do, and just knowing the people that know Travis that I know, there's zero chance he's checked out on the Jaguars that are 4-2. You know, this is a team that had, well, I guess they traded up for the number two pick, but they've been a bad team. They're 4-2 right now, and yeah, playing some good football. There's zero chance he's checked out on the Jaguars.
No, I'm with you 100%, my friend. Brian, what are you working on for us that we can check out this weekend? Even though the Buffs aren't playing, what else is going on in your brain?
Yeah, I'm working on some time off, and also I'm going to do a little thing, chat with Rick George this week about just revenue sharing and just kind of how that's going for the Buffs so far. Is you know, they've been paying players. You know, the first time the schools can pay the players, they're doing that. So talk to them about that a little bit this week. So I'll have that this weekend.
That'll be fascinating, my friend. Looking forward to it. Always appreciate you, man.
You bet. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, Brian Howell, Buff Zone. Yeah, we talked about that, the Travis Hunter thing with Skip Bayless going off on Hunter, the video of Travis being baptized before a game, not like right before a game, but it just happened to be Sunday. And then you get a reporter that's like, and I had someone coming at me on this last night. It's like, why did you have a problem with the question that the reporter asked? I was like, well, it helped shed some light on a positive thing. Yeah, but it was the response that shed some light on it. It was Travis Hunter's response. The question was very annoyed. She sounded very annoyed. Like, did you get baptized today or Sunday? Yes. Why did you do that? That's how it sounded. Why do you think he did it? Don't ask my coach, my basketball coach, who I loved, Coach Stevenson, stud, used to say, you know, the old adage, there's no such thing as a stupid question. And he's like, yeah, there is. One that's already been answered. Not one that's already been asked. One that's already been answered. So that the answer to why someone gets baptized has already been answered. So I'm like, you're asking it because you're trying to pin this guy in a corner and make him say something stupid. That's how I viewed it anyway.
Maybe she just has a really terrible personality.
She sounded like it. Faith just texted in. I had a problem with that reporter's tone. Yeah, I did too. It was a very annoyed. It was, did you get baptized on Sunday? Why did you do that? Like, that's how it sounded. And if you're hearing something different, then we are two different people.
She sounds like one of those people who worships themselves, not worshiping God.
Maybe. Maybe so. 49 minutes after the hour. Let's wrap up hour number two. We got the quarterback toilet bowl. I have been dominating this, but apparently I took a hit last weekend. Still beating Tanner, though. It's the most important thing. Yeah. Fumbled a little bit. My quarterback did not fumble it, apparently. We'll be right back.
Want Broncos games and coverage? Keep it on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA all season.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.